Lovely switch it in. The US go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Maintained by Robinson, the turn, Moore, Roldan, lifting, headers in! Hoppy! Finally his reward, his first international goal in a knockout game, no less.
Matthew Hoppy in the 83rd minute, 1-0 over the Jamaica for the U.S. men's national team, 40,000 plus in Arlington, Texas. The U.S. men's national team tour heads to Q2 Stadium on Thursday in Austin. It was Christian Roldan hanging it up at the far post and Matthew Hoppy delivering their, U.S. get an opportunity to get to a 12th Gold Cup final. As we welcome you in, Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, is always brought to you by Daspit Law, Austin.com, 512-865-6710. John and his firm, personal injury attorney, is going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. They're bringing soccer to the airwaves, and we really appreciate the support of DaspitLawAustin.com. So if you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you name it, they will cover you. DaspitLawAustin.com. Okay, so the Hoppy goal was a very important one. This was a bit of a nervy game for everybody, including the promoters and CONCACAF, because they do want the U.S. and Mexico to meet in the final. I don't think we have to pretend like that isn't what the end game here is. Matthew Hoppy, though, throughout this game, hit a volley off his right foot, off his left, struck the ball very well, and then scores the header. It's a young, inexperienced U.S. roster. There's a couple of guys who had good games, Kellen Acosta. Hoppy, I think, jumps up in the pecking order in and around the striker position for the moment. 11-10 in favor of the U.S. in shots. 5 on goal for both the U.S. and Jamaica. 5 saves for Turner. 4 for Andre Blake. And as I said, 41,000 people in Arlington, Texas. So it's coming to Austin now. It's going to be fantastic, and Qatar will be the opponent at Q2 on Thursday night. But I want to switch gears here because there is a lot of talk about Sebastian Driussi, and I want to tell you a little bit about him, what I know. I mean, obviously, all the facts are out there. It's Zenit St. Petersburg where he's been playing. He went to Zenit for about $16.5 million. He's a River Plate product, played at River Plate, in fact. Talking to some of my Argentine friends, both here and in Buenos Aires, River really wants him back. They just don't have the money for him. But a very solid player, very versatile. If this comes off, this would be a third designated player for Austin FC. This would be a Claudio Reyna and Josh Wolf move for a team that, obviously is really, really struggling to score goals, having been shut out in 8 of the last 10 games. And I got some data on some of that stuff, too. But all you need is the eye test right now. Dominated the game against Seattle. Should have won that game. So Sebastian Driussi, the reports have come. One of the high-profile guys is Cesar Luis Merlo, very noted journalist down there. He's one of 7 foreign players at Zenit. Talented, very solid. He is a two-way player. That fits into the whole Josh Wolf, mantra of everybody's working with him without the ball. This is a guy that can do it off the dribble. This is a guy that can release passes, get other people involved. He's a distributor. He's got that in his wheelhouse and in his tool chest. He can ignite a counterattack quickly, releasing people. Tremendous range of passing. Can play off of a forward. I would think... I don't know. I don't know what the plans are for Josh Wolf, but I would think playing off a center forward is best for him. But he is a complete player. I've watched him in Copa Libertadores in the past. He's complete. He has a threat from long range. He can shoot from long range. He can take penalties. He can take set pieces. This sounds as good as it sounds as I'm describing him right now. He played under Marcelo Gallardo. Gallardo, in his day, very much pushed Driussi, according to some of my friends and contacts when he was there. At Zenit St. Petersburg, he appeared 138 times, 24 goals, 22 assists, 2017, had 18 goals in 24 games for River Plate. And if you remember, part of the team that won the Copa Libertadores over Tigres. So, very good individual player, one that you need to kind of tip the balance here right now, because at this point, nobody's really delivering on Austin FC. Only three shots on target against Seattle at 13 total. Got into the final third well enough. I think we have to state that. I mean, I think the team gets forward well. They get into the final third. It's just there where it really struggles. 75% possession in this game, 90% passing accuracy, 737 passes to 231 for Seattle. Now, again, I'm just going to put, you know, quotes and you know, put an asterisk by everything I'm saying here with data. But you watch the game. You know the game. You watch the game. You saw what happened. You saw the Raul Ruiz Diaz brilliance. You saw the fact that Austin FC could not take out a Seattle team that was playing five teenagers. They took them out in every area and every facet of the game, except in the one that counts the most, scoring goals. So you think about your six attacking players in this night. John Gallagher off the bench in the 57th minute, no shots on target. Tomas Pochettino, no shots on target. Diego Fagundes, no shots on target. Rodney Redis, no shots on target. Kakuta Mane, no shots on target. Cecilio, one shot on target. Now, this is just me. This is my judgment. My judgment is that Cecilio is a stopgap here in the number nine right now. Maybe that gets looked upon differently if you acquire Sebastian Driussi. Maybe he stays in the nine. I liked Cecilio wide personally because he could draw fouls. He only won one foul against Seattle. Kakuna Mane didn't win a foul. Diego Fagundes won one foul. That tells you people aren't taking people on enough. Tomas Pochettino won two fouls. Cecilio won one. I think I mentioned that. And Rodney Redis won two. But this is a guy that, with his ability, will draw and earn free kicks for you if we're talking about Sebastian Driussi. So was that Zenit St. Petersburg, bought his own contract out. It's very clear, according to Zenit, he is leaving. That's one of the top teams in Russia. As for those of you who know or maybe don't know, I'll just put that out there. Very young and debuted at River Plate at 17 years of age, and Gallardo wants him back. That tells you something right there. And again, very versatile positionally. He can play off a forward. He can be a playmaker. Will bring ideas. Takes people on off the dribble. Can release and ignite the counterattack. Takes the free kicks and penalties and can shoot from long range. So there you go. So let's see if this comes to fruition. If it does, it's very, very exciting, I think. Very exciting. Moussa Djite, I think the player from Grenoble, you got him coming along. Husin and Schoenfeld have had the injuries. So trying to address the problem. The good news is always in Major League Soccer, it could struggle with results and still be within striking distance of the playoffs. That's the way the league's designed. It's to keep everybody involved until the end. So the heavy consequence of not scoring goals in 8 of the last 10 games, it's tempered in a lot of ways. I mean, everybody that's below the line in the Western Conference, which includes, by the way, all three Texas teams, Houston, Dallas, Austin, FC. Everybody right now, if the league was over today, no Texas team makes the playoffs. But, yeah, that's the way the league is. You got a shot pretty much always up until the end of the season. So I don't think there's any question that you know, you see teams morph into different things in Major League Soccer at different times of the year. You go on a run, you win two or three games in a row, and all of a sudden the complexion of your entire season changes. I don't know if that's a good thing, because it can always be leaned on, even though I know a lot of coaches don't lean on that. If you're asking the question to somebody who's the coach of a Major League Soccer, how much pressure is on you? A lot of it's self. I mean, I think in Austin there's real pressure. You know why? Because you got to reward these fans. And I don't think that's lost on Josh Wolf or Claudio Reyna or Andy Lochnane or the owners of the team. They want this thing to turn around. These guys are competitors. These are not guys that are sitting on it. And we have seen organizations in MLS sit on it, and it's hurt them exponentially and badly when it comes to trying to turn things around. So this is a nice sign from your organization if, in fact, Sebastian Driussi is signed, because it's no hesitation. We're trying to correct the problem, and we're trying to do it very, very quickly. And again, he's versatile. He can play in a number of different positions, and then that will be up to the Brain Trust and Josh Wolf and company and Claudio Reyna to figure out if, in fact, this guy is signed and he is the third DP. Certainly is leaning towards that, everything that's out there right now. Then you have the flexibility of finding out, you know, where they would like to plug him in. Now, that would be a really good question if one of them were on the show tonight. But we have Kakuta Mane coming up in the next hour, next segment. So that will be interesting to get Kakuta's take, you know, on the potential of a third DP, talk to him about the attack, the lack of goals, and, you know, kind of what's been happening. Energy's there, the drive, the determination, all those things are in place for Austin FC, at least through my lens. A player or two could change things pretty dramatically, and I think there's a number of teams in Major League Soccer, you know, that are in the same kind of a situation. So we'll check to see if that deal goes down. It certainly looks like it will, and if it does, it would be very, very exciting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Gold Cup semifinals. Of course, it'll be the U.S. and Qatar in Austin on Thursday. And don't sleep on Qatar. Transitionally, in attack, it's a very good team. They'll concede goals to the U.S., you would think. But you get in an up-and-down game with them. You know, you saw the game with Panama. It was 3-3. They can be dangerous. And they can get the ball off their feet very, very quickly. They can get forward quickly. That's going to be an interesting challenge on Thursday for the United States and this version of the United States. Remember, this version of the United States. Because, you know, you know what I can't stand? I saw the AP wrote an article about the U.S. And, of course, there's no author to the article's name there. And they call this group of U.S. players the JV team. To me, that's pretty disrespectful and amateur. They're professional soccer players. Whoever wrote the article's probably never kicked a ball in their life. It's just, I don't know why that irritated me, but it did. I think it's disrespectful to the group of guys that are out there. And a couple of those guys are going to end up going to the World Cup. I don't think there's any question. Kellen Acosta accounted himself well. I thought Miles Robinson did as well. I continue to like Shaq Moore. There's some really interesting guys on this team. I don't think it was the best soccer. I think it was certainly very disjointed at times. Tough to kind of get a rhythm. Gianluca Busio was in the six. You know, that's a big, big... I'll tell you what, that was a big vote of confidence from Greg Berhalter to play him in that position in a game of that nature. And at times he got pushed around a little bit. I mean, Jamaica's a very physical team. Possession wasn't great. But, you know, we've identified some guys now, Vines, Sands, Robinson, Shaq Moore, some defenders here. And, of course, Matthew Hoppe now is in the minds of people. Now, he's at Schalke, and they got relegated, so... Let's hope he can get out of the Bundesliga. I will be putting out tomorrow on Twitter, @GlenDavisSox, some burning topics. You can jump over there and check those out. There may be some Austin-related stuff in there. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, and, of course, on Instagram as well. So any of that kind of stuff and support is always helpful because it helps us stay on the radio. So next segment we'll have on, as I mentioned, Kakuta Mane of Austin FC. And then the last segment's a very, very interesting interview with Hugo Perez. He is the coach of El Salvador. El Salvador in the group stages became one of the stories of this Gold Cup. They beat Guatemala. They beat Trinidad and Tobago. And actually, in their 1-0 loss to Mexico is, I think, where they really, really turned heads, especially that second 45 minutes. Hugo Perez is trying to turn things around in El Salvador, and it is quite the soccer passionate country. He's got a very corrupt and tough professional league down there, but he's got some ideas about wanting to turn it around. El Salvador got knocked out in the knockout stage 3-2 to Qatar, the Asian champions, and they are coming your way. All right, Soccer Matters is going to roll on here. Coming from The Horn, DaspitLawAustin.com. Our presenting sponsors, 512-865-6710. 512-865-6710, DaspitLawAustin.com. Contact John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys, they're going to take care of you. DaspitLawAustin.com. How about that 18-year-old Ricardo Pepe of FC Dallas? And guess what? They're right around the corner, as well as the Houston Dynamo for Austin FC. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Austin FC attacker Kakuta Mane joins us here. Bringing you back with Johnny Winter, all torn down from the Beaumont Port Arthur area. Just like assistant coach of Austin FC, Davey Arno from Nederland, same area. Spawned a lot of very, very good musicians, that part of the world. So that's Johnny Winter, all torn down. Appreciate that music. We're waiting on Kakuta Mane, and we'll be talking to him a little bit about what's going on with Austin FC. You heard that goal from Mexico. Mexico in the 26th, Funes Mori, Jonathan Dos Santos in the 31st, and in the 38th, Orbelin Pineda. You play Honduras. Honduras usually gets up for Mexico, but if Honduras doesn't have Romel Kioto and Albert Elise to stretch Mexico, to provide that threat behind them, you're not going to get a result. I think if those two guys were there and were healthy, it's a different game. Mexico started with Talavera in goal, Jesus Gallardo, Hector Moreno, left-footed center back. He's been on this show, as you know. He's, by the way, he'll be there Thursday night. He'll have played against a lot of these guys on Qatar because he has been playing in the Qatar first division for Al Gharafa. So that's an interesting little sideline to the game that maybe people didn't know. Hector Moreno's been at Al Gharafa in Qatar. And, of course, we all know Qatar is going to host the next World Cup. Nestor Araujo, Rodriguez at the back, Herrera, Dos Santos, and Alvarez. That's a nice blend there of experience and creativity in midfield. And then Pineda, as we mentioned. Tecatito Corona. And then the Argentine, now a naturalized Mexican national team player, Funes Mori, who has now scored from Rayados 4 goals in 5 games for Mexico. He's got 3 in the Gold Cup, and that really addresses that center forward position there with Raul Jimenez coming back after that horrible head injury that he suffered in the Premier League. And, of course, no Chicharito, which I don't think Tata Martino's high on bringing him back into the team. So let's see what happens. So, again, we're waiting on Kakuta Mane. We'll get him on the program here to talk. Kakuta Mane's numbers in the last game, 2 shots, none on target, 1 chance created, 32 touches, did not win any fouls. And that's one thing you want him to do with his pace and his ability to break lines and things. You know, it's those numbers I broke out to you were pretty telling. John Gallagher came off the bench. He had 57 minutes to make something happen. So 5 of 6 attacking players had a total of 1 shot on goal. It's not going to cut it. Saturday home against Colorado. That's after Thursday night, United States men's national team against Qatar. And then we get into the rivalry stuff, which I'm really excited about. I want to see what the in-state rivalry brings out of the 3 Texas teams. Out of Austin FC, out of the Houston Dynamo, out of FC Dallas. FC Dallas finally got a very important win. They put a smack and a beatdown on the LA Galaxy 4-0. Ricardo Pepe at 18 years of age with a hat trick. But I want to see what that rivalry and that kind of, you know, in-state kind of competition, the ability for fans to travel, how that's going to, you know, help us. All right, we've got now from Austin FC, their attacker. Great to have him on the show. We've had him on before. He is Kakuta Mane. Kakuta, thank you very much for coming on the show. Kakuta, you there? Hi, Kakuta. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming on tonight.
Anytime.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the current situation. Look, I know it's been a struggle to score goals. I know you guys are pushing to do it. You outplayed Seattle. How frustrating is it right now not to be producing goals?
It is. It is very, very frustrating, man. It's, you know, we can't stress enough. We've been, you know, very frustrated in our place as well. It's, you know, putting all the working, like you said, you know, trying and, you know, working hard and, you know, doing everything we can. And, you know, it's just, you know, the ball doesn't want to go in, and it has been very frustrating. And, you know, it's not for a lack of effort, you know, a lack of creating chances. You know, it's just not going in at the moment. So that's the most frustrating part. You know, you put all that work in and, you know, you get the chances and, you know, it's just not happening.
Yeah, and people can see it. I mean, we see it in the games. I watched your game against Seattle. I mean, you guys are getting into the final third. You're making stuff happen. There's tremendous effort going on. You're not scoring goals, though. You know, you've been in these positions before in your career. How do you get out of them? Yeah. Is it as simple as just saying you just keep pushing? How do you get out of it?
No, for sure. It's I think it's a simple matter of just pushing and just keep believing, just keep going. And knowing that, you know, it's going to come. You know, we have the belief that when one goes in and, you know, a bunch is going to come. So we have that mindset, you know. It's tough to think about, you know, a few weeks ahead or, you know, next game or, you know, we're always in the process of the game we're playing. And I think everybody's really frustrated right now before the next game because, you know, we haven't scored. We haven't, you know, won a game, but in a minute. But I think it's just having the belief that, hey, you know, we're on the right track. We're getting better as a team. You know, we've only been together for 6 months. These things are going to happen. This is, you know, this is a test for us, you know, see how strong we are, you know, mentally and, you know, if we're going to stick to the process or not, you know. But I think, you know, we're a good group of guys and, you know, the coaching staff is doing a phenomenal job. You know, the reason we're creating all those chances is because of our structure and, you know, the way we want to play. So we just have to believe in the process and, you know, goals will come. I think we have to have that belief and, you know, good things will happen for sure. You know, we'll start scoring goals, and you know, it will be very exciting. You know, we're playing exciting football, but it's better with goals. You know.
Yeah, no question. And you guys are playing exciting. That was, actually, if you walked away from that game the other night, and obviously, you know, everybody wants Austin FC to get results, but if you walked away from that game, you go, wow, that was an entertaining game. No question about it. The backdrop of the fans, the energy in that game. What about you personally? Do you feel like you're getting the balls in the areas you want? Well, you know, what do you think personally?
Oh, no, I think, for me, it's about, you know, getting my minutes in, you know, getting that game fitness back. You know, getting confidence, you know, every week in, week out, all the minutes that I'm getting my confidence. And, you know, because I'm a guy throughout my career, all I do or what I'm known for is creating chances and, you know, scoring goals. So me getting these minutes and, you know, getting comfortable, getting the game fitness in, and, you know, it's in Texas, it's not easy with this heat. Even when you're fit, it's a struggle. So getting these game times and, you know, getting myself up to speed, and I think it's very important. I see I'm feeling more comfortable, you know, all, you know, this past couple of games that I'm starting, and I think that's only going to help me, and, you know, I feel like I can help the team a lot more. You know, we'll see the fruits of this minutes in the near future here. But I think, yeah, definitely getting the balls in the right spot. Like I said, our system is made for my game. Because we want to attack and, you know, we want to, you know, defend high up the pitch. When we win the ball, is, you know, it's a lot less distance to go to goal. And I think the way we play, we keep the ball, and for us attacking players, it gives us, you know, a good opportunity to put us in a good spot to score goals and create chances. And, you know, I'm a runner as well. And, you know, we want to play in behind. You know, we want to, you know, make those penetration passes. We want to get in the box. So I think the way we play suits my game perfectly. Just been very unfortunate with, you know, again, we're going back to it. You know, you do all of that and, you know, you don't score goals. You're not winning games. You know, nobody sees that. You know, I think for us, that's the main thing. You know, I think, we played great that game. And then we played well in the LAFC game, but nobody sees that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, watching the videos back, you know, we do meetings all the time. You're watching the video, like, wow, yo, we actually played really, really well. We created a few chances, you know, and you're like, you know, if one of those goes in, you know, two of those goes in, then everybody's like started talking about, you know, how amazing we're playing. But when you're not winning or scoring goals, you know, it's hard to say, oh, they're playing well. So I think for us, that's the most important thing now. It's, you know, just to get that one goal and hopefully that opens the floodgate.
Kakuta, what does Josh Wolf say? Because he was such a great mobile forward, and I'm sure during his career, like any striker, he went through some droughts where he wasn't scoring goals. Kind of what's he saying to you guys?
You know, it's the belief and, you know, stick to the process. And, you know, there's things that we obviously need to work on. We need to brush up on. And like you say, he's the forward. And you can see the ideas that he is, you know, trying to instill in us. And, you know, when you do it, it works. And, you know, when we don't do it, then you can see we need to get back to those things. And, you know, he's a great person to learn from. You know, he's got a great career. He's, you know, a sniper, you know, in front of goal. And he knows the dangerous areas, you know, where we should be to be able, you know, if you're not in the box, you're not going to score goals. You know, it will be very, your chances of scoring goals is very difficult. And, you know, that's what he, you know, always emphasized on at training and the meetings and the games. You know, we need to be in front of goals. We need to make runs in the box and we need to be in that dangerous areas to be able to score goals. And, you know, just making unselfish runs for, you know, your teammates. And, you know, you'll be in a position to score a goal yourself, you know. It's just like, you know, he's amazing. He articulates very, very well of, you know, what he wants and, you know, how we're going to score, you know, the goals. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we don't do those enough. You know, we get away from that, and it's difficult when you go down a goal and, you know, you think, you try to refer back to what you know what I mean? But I think the boys have been doing a good job of, you know, trying to, you know, work on, you know, the system and, you know, stick with it. And, you know, we just need to keep doing it more, having the belief that it's going to come, not to discourage, you know, frustration is not going to happen, and which is a good thing. I think we need that. you know, if we're not frustrated, then, you know, we're not, you know, we don't have that edge, you know, I think we're, you know, we're playing the wrong sport. But I think you can see that. You can see that throughout the week when we got back after that game, and everybody's, you know, eager to score goals. Everybody's eager to give a little bit more. Everybody's passionate about it. So I think, you know, we're on the right track, honestly. And, you know, we're not too worried about it. We're frustrated, but we know that it's going to come. You know, the qualities we have on the team, you know, that's, I think that's the most frustrating part, to see those things are not, you know, happening for us right now.
Cuckoo Damane joining us here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. This is Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Look, you're a longtime pro. This is tremendous information you're giving the fan base here in this interview. Now, when you guys in the locker room see that the club is not fooling around and you guys are in the news constantly, you're one of the hottest things in Major League Soccer, both on and off the field. And when you hear a top talented Argentine player like Sebastian Driussi is being considered and is a potential. What happens in a professional locker room? Kind of take us into that area to our listeners here, because, you know, a good striker like him comes in. He's not coming in to be a squad player.
No, I think I think it's, you know, it's the same as, you know, being outside, just hearing rumors, and because we, you know, we don't know any more than. You guys probably know more than we do, but, you know, seeing those rumors out there, and, you know, whatever, Instagram or Twitter, seeing that it's a possibility and the club is working hard, I mean, you know, trying to make the squad better. I think, you know, the excitement in the, how you say, in the locker room, they, you know, is good, you know, because we want good players who are going to come and help the team, contribute to the team. Like you said, you know, a top player from Argentina, and, you know, he's a good player. So if, you know, if there's any truth to it and the club is able to make the deal, I think, you know, guys are really excited. You know, maybe, you know, we need a guy come in and, you know, bring his, you know, qualities and help the team. But I think people are excited. You know, people talked about it because it's a rumor. It's on the internet. And, you know, we're seeing it on Twitter or on Instagram that, you know, the club is, trying to sign him, and, you know, he's an excited player, and, you know, some other guys, I think, know about him. So I think people are excited about, you know, if it's true and it's going to happen, people are really excited about it.
Cuckoo Damane joining us here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, and we always thank Cuckoo for coming on. I will tell you, Cuckoo, you are so well-spoken, and, you know, the type of interview you're giving now is not always the one you want to talk about when you're not scoring goals and you're not winning games. But I appreciate how professional you are about it. And, you know, what are some of your other teammates saying about getting this thing turned around and getting a result against Colorado on Saturday?
I think, again, we refer to that belief. Like I said, it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's a concern, but the frustration, we know that we have to start making the push if we want to achieve our goals this year, you know, making the playoffs. And, we want to score lots of goals, and that's been our, you know, our talk since the beginning of the season. Since the first day I got here, the message is we want to score lots of goals. We want to win games, you know, 5-4, 6-5. You know, that's how we want to win games. At the moment, that's not happening. And, you know, the message is, you know, just, you know, try to get one. You know, again, we're trying, but it's not happening. You know, we're sticking together as a team, and it's just, we have to believe that, you know, things are going to happen. And, you know, we've been better since, you know, since the day one I've been here. You know, the trajectory has been amazing. You know, we clean out a lot of little mistakes that we don't give up a lot of chances. You know what I mean? You know, if you look at it from the beginning of the season, you know, we've buttoned up a lot of things. And it's just one of the things, you just want luck to be on your side, you know, one of these games, and, you know, and then, you know, go from there. But I think, you know, everybody's, like I said, it's been a good week so far at training. Everybody's head is cooled down, and, you know, the training has been, you know, getting in the box, scoring goals, taking the chances, taking shots, and hopefully they can translate. And everybody's been, you know, a sniper this week. Hopefully they can translate into the game against Colorado, where I think, you know, we have that, you know, we have that mentality, you know, especially this week, you know, because the run we just went through, everybody's thinking score goals, score goals, score goals. I think which only helps us And it's been a very, very positive week, even though, again, people are frustrated, but we're motivating each other, we're pushing each other. Coaching staff are there, they're pushing, you know, the players, and we're watching videos, and, you know, there's a lot of details that we need to button up again. But I think we'll get there. You know, I think we'll get there. I think we are patient, and I think, you know, the fans are patient. The coaching staff believe in what we're doing. The squad believes in what we're doing. It's a good system to play in. And again, if we're not creating chances, we should be worried. You know what I mean? If we're not playing exciting football, we should be worried. But we're playing beautiful football. We're creating chances. You know,
you're getting into the final third beautifully. I mean, there's some of the build-ups and possession play and the build-up and the run of play stuff is absolutely gorgeous and fun to watch.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we have to just have to keep that in mind. It's like sometimes luck is just not on your side. And, you know, you can look at it one or two ways, or you can take it one or two ways. You know, you can give up or just, you know, put your sleeves up and, you know, roll your sleeves up and, you know, just go again and, you know, keep fighting, keep believing that it's going to happen, you know, and keep trying. So I think that we're in that stage. We're going to keep trying. You know, there's no concern. You know, we're not giving up, and everybody wants to, you know, score that goal, and everybody wants to see, you know, this team achieve their goals this season. The coaching staff, the players, the, you know, the staff members, you can see it. Everybody wants, you know, excited, happy with the way we're playing, but, you know, just a little bit, you know, is missing that goal. But
Kakuta,
I have 100% belief that it's going to come soon.
Kakuta, we're up on a hard break. Tremendous stuff. By the way, you pointed something out great. You're the best defensive team in the Western Conference, only conceding 10 goals. Now we get some goals to go along with that. You start getting results. Kakuta, thank you so much for giving us your time. Very much appreciated.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Kakuta Mane. That's great stuff right there. Look, these are the kind of questions you have to ask these players. You know, what is in their mind? You know, it's not easy. I mean, these guys are waking up at night probably going, you know, thinking about a chance they missed. They carry this. They'll carry this through their next day. Carry it into the grocery store. They'll see Austin FC fans, and, you know, they want to deliver. And there's a lot of good elements in place. They just have to turn the corner now. All right, so that was Kakuta Mane. We're going to come back with some El Salvador national team talk. La Selecta. And as we know, there's tons of Salvadorian fans in this part of the country. John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710, 512-865-6710 is the number to call. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they take care of your case. They'll work for you 24/7, car, boat, motorcycle accident, you name it, they'll take care of you. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Would love to get connected with all of you there, and at Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock as well. We'll take a break. Jimi Hendrix will take us there. Here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. Support them. They get us on the radio. We want to make this world go round when it comes to soccer by supporting sponsors. DaspitLawAustin.com. They're personal injury attorneys. John and his firm, they'll take care of your case. They're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends, and they're going to fight for your rights. 512-865-6710. It's bilingual, 512-865-6710. They're bilingual. It's John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com, presenting sponsors of this show. Final segment of the night is a good one. The head coach of El Salvador is Hugo Perez. Quite the story in the Gold Cup. And last week I had an opportunity ahead of their game against Qatar to catch up with their head man. Here's Hugo Perez, the former U.S. international, now coaching El Salvador. Well, Hugo, let's just get your overall thoughts here on the group play and where you're sitting right now heading into the quarterfinals, because it really it's turned a lot of heads. I mean, El Salvador and you have become one of the big stories of this Gold Cup.
Well, first of all, I thank God because I got the opportunity to come here with the team. I just got the team about 2 months ago. As you know, the coach who was here came to an agreement with the federation. He didn't want to continue, so I was coaching the under-23 national team for the Olympics. And the idea basically was to take over after the this World Cup and focus on 2026, especially with the under-23s and down. But it happened that somehow the old coach didn't want to stay anymore, and I was there for about, I think, 3 months. When everything finished with the under-23, I got an emergency call from the president, and he flew to San Francisco, where I live, and asked me if I was interested in helping him with the senior national team, because it was important for them to get to the octagonal. At that time, they still had to qualify for it. And that's what happened. Everything went so fast. I moved quickly about, I think it was at the beginning of April, second week of April, something like that. And then I started working with the senior national team. And it's been difficult in the sense that when you don't have a lot of time, and I had to change a lot of players, brand new players, but new American players that play here now that were parents from El Salvador. And then when we got here, obviously nobody gave us a chance. That's a reality. But it's been, again, I thank God because it's been good in the sense that the team has come together. They're accepting the idea of the changes we want to make on the football side and the administration side. And that's helped us a lot. So now we're through to the second round. And we play Qatar this Saturday, which is going to be a tough game. We played them already in Croatia. We lost 1-0 to them. But I think it's one of the best teams right now. Tactically, very well organized. They have 4 or 5 players that make the difference. Their coach is from Spain. Well, very good coach. I mean, he's been there since the youth with them. So it's going to be a tough game. But, you know, we're also taking this tournament as a preparation for the octagonal. As you know, we open up against the U.S. September the 2nd. So, but, you know, again, I thank God because it's been very good up to now. We just got to continue to work hard and see what happens on Saturday.
El Salvador head coach Hugo Perez joining us. You know, you get into the job so quickly. What's the first thing you try to do? Because I understand what I'm listening to, that you are trying to change a culture, a mentality, so that it can also be a long-term effect as well.
Yeah, what I did with the senior team was we changed players according to what we wanted to do as far as how we wanted to work and go forward with the program. Our league in El Salvador is not that strong. I was there with the Olympic team in January, and I went to see a lot of matches. And I got to know some of the players that were playing with the senior national team, because we used to train together with the under-23 at the complex. And then the other thing was that I started contacting people here in the U.S. about players that could give us the opportunity to if they wanted to play for us. And also the national team got a new person. His name is Diego Enriquez, who became the first technical sporting director of the national team. So with him, we put together a plan and we started implementing that, bringing new players from outside, getting new faces on the national team from the national side in El Salvador. And, you know, the most difficult thing is to change a style and culture of football. The only advantage I had is that I'm from El Salvador, so I know them very well. And my last 2 years, about 25 years ago, I finished my career there. So that's helped a little bit, but I know we have a long way. I mean, we haven't qualified for the World Cup almost 40 years. And, you know, our issues off the field have been terrible. And we're trying to change the image of the national team. We're trying to change the image of our players. And we're trying to change the image of a federation. But it's been great because coming here, nobody expected us to go through the second round. So that's been helpful for the program. You know, we started to get sponsors now that want to help us in the national team program. And, you know, there's calls from players outside El Salvador that want to see if we can look at them and all that. So I think going forward, God willing, it's going to get much better.
Hugo Perez joining us, head coach of El Salvador, 2-0 win over Guatemala, 2-0 win over Trinidad and Tobago. And honestly, maybe the 1-0 loss to Mexico, the way you played in the second half, really continued to impress people. Hugo, let's get specific to Qatar now and what it is you're going to want out of your team against Qatar.
Well, we played him in Croatia, and I think we were not in the final third. I think we lacked offense, and we ended up losing 1-0. It's a team that plays on a 5-3-2 system, but they're very, very tactically trained. They know well that system. They have about 4 or 5 players, excuse me, that are very, how could I say it, not only technical but explosive, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a team that, in transition from defense to offense, they're very, very fast, very poised, and they can make things happen. So it's going to be a tough game for us, but we need to basically play our game, which has been possession orientated, trying to attack, be more, more careful in the transitional game. From offense to defense, but it's for me, it's one of the best national teams right now here in this tournament.
Hugo, am I hearing you say that it's going to be very important for you to have good possession in order to control the game so it doesn't turn into a transitional up and down game, which might favor Qatar?
Yeah, because their style, they're more of a counterattack team. They possess, but they don't mess around too much. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3 passes, and they're going forward. So I think that's where we need to try to maintain our style, try to keep the ball more, move the ball quickly, create spaces, and, you know, try to what we lacked in the last game we played against them was the 1v1 going at them. So we're going to have to do that in order for us to have a chance to beat them.
El Salvador head coach Hugo Perez joining us ahead of the quarterfinals. They take on Qatar. That second where the ball is lost and you lose possession, those couple of seconds, I imagine, are going to be very important for your players. They're going to have to be very quick thinking in those moments against Qatar.
Yeah, they are, because, again, if you leave them space to receive, turn, and go, they explode basically the space. That's what they like. So we have to be very compact. The three lines, whether we're going forward or whether we're defending, that's the key. And there's a player that they have, number 3, he plays as a center back, as a left back. I think that's one of the guys that everybody wants to sign in Europe. He's their key in offense also. Very good, left-footed, quick, fast, strong. So we need to be on alert with him.
Hugo Perez joining us, head coach of El Salvador. They've had a great run in this Gold Cup. Darwin Seren plays in Houston, where this radio show originates from. Tell us a little bit about Darwin, how he's helped your team, and what he means to you as the coach.
I think he's been a great help because, obviously, the level where he plays is better than our league. And then also, he's one of the veterans, let's put it that way, from our team. We have a pretty young team. I think we have about 3 or 4 players that are over 30, and the rest of them are under 30. So he gives us experience. He's been one of the more consistent players in the national team for years. So it's been a great help. Obviously, this new way of playing and system, you know, he's taking it very well. I think in Houston, Tab plays kind of similar style, so he hasn't been an issue with him coming in.
Hugo Perez ahead of their Gold Cup match against Qatar. And this is the last one. I'll leave you with this one. Hugo, do you think in the future you could be the fire starter? In other words, that person, and they've tried it before, other people have tried it, that can really do something big, get investment, try to, you know, improve player development in El Salvador, try and improve your first division. Is that something that's in your mind now, even though you're in the midst of this competition with the Gold Cup? Or is that something that you deal with at a later date? But are you thinking visionary right now in El Salvador? Because it is such a passionate soccer country.
No, we are. I think I've already presented a program where we're going to start working with our youth national teams. We're going to start working with clubs over there in order to develop players, in order for them to know and train players. You know, we're going to be conducting training centers all over the country, coaching education. That's part of the package that I presented to the Federation when I took the job. And obviously, though, that program is going to help them if I leave, for example. And we got to make sure it's stable. We got to make sure it's run properly. And also, right now we're working with the under 18s, under 20s, under 15s. Okay. So, those are three, national team programs that we're going to be taking over also. And then obviously the second part of that would be here in the States, where we're going to come in to different states where you have a lot of Salvadorian people, where we can look at players and do training centers and see how, you know, what type of players they have and how many of those players can help us. I mean, we already have about 6 or 7 players that could be joining the under 18 national team already. Wow. That we discover here. So all that program is in progress right now. And once this thing, you know, the Gold Cup and then the qualifiers are passed, then we start looking into it for 2026.
It's a big project, but it makes a lot of sense. And with your youth background, I have to think this is a wonderful fit. How are you feeling with the love and the passion you're getting from the Salvadorian fans like we saw up in Dallas? Unbelievable.
Well, our fans have suffered for a lot of long time. They've been disappointed with not only results, but the way things have been handled with the Federation. So hopefully we can bring back a smile to them and see if we can give them some happiness. And I think it's going to take some time, but I think right now we're taking the step by step. We want to make sure our country feels proud of their national team, whether it's on the football side or whether it's on the outside administratively. That's our goal. So, you know, our people are passionate about football. Sometimes they're not patient, but, you know, they need to be educated for that. But as long as we start being transparent and doing what is right, I think they'll be happy with what we're doing.
Hugo, best of luck against Qatar. Thank you so much for your time, as always. We appreciate all your great insight, and we look forward to getting you on the show again, hopefully after a win over Qatar.
All right, Lynn. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Hugo.
Nice to talk to you. Take care. Bye.
So that's great stuff there from Hugo Perez, and it's very interesting stuff because El Salvador is a hugely passionate soccer country, as we know. So many Salvadorians throughout the Texas and Gulf area, and they love the sport of soccer. So here's to hoping they can continue to turn it around, and I know Hugo Perez has a lot of ideas. Show, as always, tonight was presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're bilingual. They'll take your case. John is a big fan of soccer, supports in a very big way Austin FC, Chelsea over in England, loves the game, and would love to take your case. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. For producer John Reichel, a big thank you to Kakuna Mane, all our guests tonight, Hugo Perez, and of course you listening in and supporting this on the podcast. It makes a big difference to sponsors and things when you are supporting this show, downloading the podcast. So again, you can download the podcast at hornfm.com. For all of you out there tonight, have a great time Thursday at the U.S. Men's National Team game. Keep up all the great work with Austin FC, the Bowl, and everything soccer in Austin, Texas. I'm Glenn Davis. On behalf of the firm, remember, soccer matters. Business. Shape.